Welcome back to Connecticut Inside Out, the North Haven podcast that's usually hyper-local, but going to be even more hyper-local today. I'm Steve Gifford.
I'm Amanda Gabriel.
And I'm Tim Gabriel, and we're right in your ears. That's how local we are right now.
So local.
You can't get any closer than that.
This call is coming from inside the house.
So what we wanted to do today is basically record history in the making, or that's just been made. This is something of a, let's say, an oral history from people who were involved in a both historic and record-breaking and also deeply tiny, unimportant event.
So totally unbiased is what you're saying.
I mean, I'm just here calling it as I see it.
Balls and strikes, folks.
So
balls and strikes.
This deals with the last year of the North Haven Democratic Town Committee. And I think maybe to start off for listeners, especially folks outside of Connecticut, Amanda, can you explain what is a Democratic Town Committee and what they do?
Yeah, so let me try to explain this, and feel free to interrupt me and keep me honest as I go. But so democracy takes a number of different levels in order to function properly. And at each level, whether it be national, state, or hyper-local, there needs to be folks who are working to make sure that the two-party system is functioning as it should. So in Connecticut, where we operate on the town level as opposed to on the county level, we have town committees for all 169 municipalities within Connecticut. The North Haven Democratic Town Committee is charged with a few things. One is representing all Democrats in the town of North Haven, and two is electing more Democrats. So basically, it's a group of people that officially are nominated and voted on at a caucus, which we'll get to later, in order to represent all the Democrats in town. They have, you know, it's an odd power dynamic because it sounds like a powerful position, but the power only actually makes any sense or any difference when it comes time to local elections, at least in the current iteration of how Democratic Town Committees function.
Wait, so this sounds really interesting. Is there a website or a Facebook page I could go to find out more about the North Haven Democratic Town Committee?
Nope.
Oh, would you want to elaborate on that?
Not really. Steve, do you want to elaborate on it?
Sorry about that. So as we're talking in late February 2024, for reasons that we will get into, so this is really just a teaser for the rest of this podcast. There is no Facebook page or online presence for the North Haven Democratic Town Committee. I do want to put some numbers on it, Tim, just ballpark. Like, North Haven, we've got 23 and change thousand people in town. 24,500, said the data person from the other room. Registered Democrats are we looking at?
About 4,500.
About 4,500, okay. And how many people on the DTC?
As it currently stands, before the new DTC comes in, there was about 40.
Okay, so it's a select group of Democrats. In theory, chosen by the rest of the Democrats in town.
Yes.
Okay. And Tim, what's been your experience with the DTC prior to the start of 2023?
So I got started around probably the end of 2016 when Trump was elected. You know, I was looking for places where we could go to sort of make a difference, and kind of like the logical conclusion to that was looking at the numbers that had just come through in our local election and seeing that Trump had emerged victorious within our own town. He didn't win the state of Connecticut, but that still made me a little uneasy.
And that was new, too. That hadn't happened.
Yeah. The last two elections, North Haven had gone for Obama. So we were one of those Trump-Obama states, districts that, like, you sort of heard about a lot in the news.
And then this cool guy, Steve Gifford, reached out to us via Facebook and was like, hey, come get involved in local politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we need to stay on topic and not involve random extra characters.
I'm actually interested in going a little bit further back and like, trying to figure out, Steve, when did you get involved? Because it was before, like, the kind of the cool phase when everybody got involved, like after Trump, and we're like, oh, we're checking out local politics now. But you were the OG.
I'm really not by some of the standards, but so I was, let's see, In 2000,
like most things Gen X, you were there before it was cool.
In 2009, the Democrats actually won first selectman in North Haven. First time it happened since the mid-60s. And it was because the Republican town committee had mostly gone to jail. That's not an exaggeration, but not germane to this.
But that could be another podcast episode.
Probably, but the stakes couldn't be lower, or just, you know, stealing money. Done. At that point, they were looking for members of boards and commissions. I sent an email. Nobody ever responded to it. So 2011, and I think I said 2013 in a text earlier, but it was 11. 2011, I saw that the North Haven DTC Facebook page had, 20 or so followers. And I reached out to Walt Spader, who was the chair at the time. I said, hey, I think you need somebody to pay attention to this full time. Can I do it? And that turned out he knew my father, and we had a whole conversation. Beginning of 2012, I actually joined the DTC. So I was running the Facebook page without being a DTC member. Joined the DTC and was immediately made treasurer. Stayed treasurer through 2018, I think I handed it off. 2016.
Yeah, it was after we joined, so yeah. I think it was 2018.
2016, I ran for state rep. 2014.
Did a fantastic job, by the way.
No.
I voted for you.
I voted for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I very much appreciate that.
We were the two.
There are very clear measures of success in an election, and I failed at that particular station. So over time, I drifted further and further away from the DTC, partly because Walt had left.
He's a judge now.
The meetings were getting either tedious or awkward or just...
¿Por qué no los dos?
Yeah, that's true. And so... I think, Amanda, in 2020, you and I didn't go to the caucus, but we ended up on anyway.
Yeah, we sent letters of intent.
Right. Yep. And then by 2022, we didn't show up to caucus and didn't get on.
Well, I was extorted off the DTC, yes, yeah. Yes.
So that's a little bit of the DTC history. So, Amanda, maybe that extortion is a good transition into what happened in the DTC for North Haven in 2022 and 2023.
I think that starting actually with, let's see, well, this was 2023, so that would have been 2019 is where we need to start with the fire commission race.
Okay.
Because that's what started this.
Yes. The most important thing that ever happens in a town is the local fire commission race.
So folks decided that a longtime serving fire commissioner needed to be unceremoniously unseated, which
fire commissioner and former DTC chair.
Correct. He was chair when we won the first selectman seat, actually, in 2009.
As he will happily tell
which
you,
he will
if
tell
he
you
any amount of
all day, every day. hi, Peter. So, like, you're allowed to have differences of opinion on who should be representing you in local government. So I have no problem with anybody saying that they would like a fire commissioner who's not Peter Criscolo. What I have a problem with is saying, if you don't support Jenny Caldwell for fire commission over Peter Criscolo, your political career in North Haven is done. And to me, that is like, that's too muscly. I needed a good reason. I wanted to understand, like, why, as his performance as a firefighter, I'm sorry, as a fire commissioner, did he deserve to be bumped off? Like, what did other people bring to the table that he didn't? And that was not up for discussion at all.
And this was at the time you were vice chair of the DTC, correct?
I was co-vice chair, actually.
Co-vice chair, of course, yes, because that's a position that needs two people. and you had multiple people tell you that, you know, like, you how you voted in this fire commission nomination process. It wasn't even the primary at that point. It was just kind of like who the DTC was going to nominate it was going to cost you your political career.
Correct. Which, like, the quickest way to get me to do something is to threaten me. Like, I don't respond well to threats at all. And I sort of probably dug my heels in harder than I should have. But ultimately, other folks were run against Peter Criscolo, and they ran successfully, which is good for them, I guess. But then that kind of developed a pattern. Then the next year, 2021, the next election cycle, 2021, Dot Logan, who is a former special education teacher former Board of Education member, longtime Democrat, longtime, like, just good human.
I think probably has gotten more votes for as a Democrat running for Board of Ed than any other Democrat.
Probably.
Yeah.
That, I mean, maybe Jen Ceccarelli.
Maybe.
Might
but Dot was... Very popular. Dot was out knocking on doors, and everybody knows her for sure.
Yes, and Dot will do the work, right? And then it was Dot's turn because when our state representative, Dave Iacarino, got $250,000 of additional special education funding, Dot said thank you to him. And apparently saying thank you to a Republican was against the rules. So
What a monster.
I was very upset by this, too, because, you know, at that time I was on the Board of Education. The people that they wanted to run against Dot had not been to a Board of Education meeting ever, had not participated in the process ever. I didn't have the level of comfort with them that I had with Dot. And just knowing...
One person wasn't even a Democrat until several months...
Easy there.
Earlier.
Take it easy. She's nice. But like... For an important board like the Board of Education, I wanted to make sure that these folks were taking seriously the charge that they were running for. I was deeply uncomfortable with the way that my friend Dot was treated. She's not a jerk, you know? She's like a nice lady who will help you if you ask her for help. And she just didn't deserve to be treated this way at all.
And also, it's useful. Like, Board of Ed is not even arguably... the hardest, most difficult board in town, much more so than even Board of Selectmen.
Thank you for saying that, but you're correct.
Yeah, well, because you have half of the town's budget. You
more
literally
than half.
Have
it's
your
like 52%.
You literally have your own Board of Finance inside of the Board of Education.
Yes, that is me.
And it's just one of our dings against Republicans going back a long time is that they would put forward absolutely unqualified. People to be on the Board of Education.
And we had a teacher. We had a teacher with special education knowledge who was well respected in town.
And the other folks could have gotten trained up over time, probably, but like, why? We had a very, and also at this point, correct me if I'm wrong, we had other boards and commissions where we didn't have candidates.
Correct. You're correct in that. And like, Board of Ed is not something that you can pick up. The learning curve for Board of Education is 6 months long at least. So if you want to run for Board of Ed, you should be attending Board of Education meetings. You should be submitting public comment. You should be working towards the betterment of our school district for our kiddos.
And at the time, nobody was saying that Dot had done a bad job on the Board of Education in
or any
capacity.
Of that. Yes,
it
correct.
Was literally just a loyalty test.
Yeah. If anybody is interested in being involved in the Board of Ed or any board, really, like, I mean, the first thing you should start doing is talking to your representatives.
Or attending meetings. So one thing that I take issue with is like the purity tests or, you know, saying like people are or aren't qualified for anything, because ultimately like serving your community doesn't necessarily require qualifications. Mm. It just requires you to be interested and make a good faith effort to do a good job.
Yeah.
So like to me, that's what Dot was doing. And to me, hearing the other people that they were trying to oust her with, not knowing them, not seeing them, not feeling that from them, it felt really disrespectful. And it felt like it really violated the main tenet of good management, which is like, don't disrespect people's dignity, you know, allow people to have the dignity that they deserve.
So Moving on from that then,
yeah.
And after that, were there any process changes for Democratic County Committee, either meetings or for the membership as a whole?
So,
also, did anybody say anything to you after Dot was removed from office?
No, nobody said anything to me after Dot was removed from office, and it sort of like solidified.
Sure? No, nobody said you're next.
Oh no. Yeah. No. They did say you're next. Dot and I were having a drink at Bellini's after she was not renominated for her position. And folks did scream out the window of their Porsche, you're next. Which is fine, right? Like, so it's okay when you're like when you're a public figure, that's fine, I guess. But like that sort of solidified the precedent that anybody who failed a loyalty test or a purity test was going to be next on the list of folks who were going to lose their seat, quote unquote. And just to be clear, like, I don't think that my seat on the Board of Education is actually my seat. It's the people's seat, you know, but I do think that expressing good faith interest in the people's seat makes a big difference. So after, you know, Dot was unceremoniously dismissed as well, I sort of knew I was next, not only because somebody yelled outside of their Porsche that I was next, but also because I had clearly made some enemies. I was not quiet about knowing that I was going to be next. I told a lot of people, and it made them kind of look at me and say, like, oh, you might be insane.
So the ding against you, just to flesh it out, is some of it is supporting your support on the fire commission thing and your support of Dot. But there was also a Board of Finance education funding angle there, too, wasn't there?
Yeah. So the quote unquote top Democrat in town, Sally Wemmy, got her friend Nancy Barrett elected to the Board of Finance. And together, they're really the fiscal hawks of the town, which is fine. I mean, they would probably take that as a compliment for me. So that's great. That's fine. I'll wait for their bouquet of flowers.
Sort of an unusual spot for Democrats to be in.
It is a very unusual spot for Democrats to be in. And year after year, they have advocated for cuts to our Board of Education. They have advocated for, like, austerity measures above all else. And this is something that's like objectively provable, that they are there as fiscal hawks, which is fine. Like, it's not a bad position to be in, but it invokes cognitive dissonance when you say, I am a fiscal hawk who does not want to see any additional spending on the Board of Education, and I'm a Democrat.
And they're not doing this at the direction of the Democratic Town Committee, correct?
I think that they are probably leading the fiscal hawk wing of the Democratic Town Committee, and there's some synergy there. There's Venn diagram overlap between the people who never want to see us spend an additional dollar, regardless of inflationary status, and those folks who do not like me personally.
Right, but
there are people who just want to see the education system fail because they don't like
have their kids Amanda, in schools,
or they don't have kids in the schools, or they don't like the superintendent, or like their kids had a bad experience, and it's just kind of like scorched earth after that.
But I guess the point I'm getting at is there wasn't a vote of the Democratic Town Committee saying
absolutely not. However, there was a concerted effort to target folks that were not necessarily friendly with the leadership of the Democratic Town Committee and to kind of oppose any measures that we supported. So
with that context, what kind of rule changes did we see inside of the Democratic Town Committee?
So one thing is that only members of the DTC were allowed to speak. So gone were the days where, like, William Tong would come and have a conversation with the North Haven Democratic Town Committee. Gone are the days when people serving on boards and commissions who were not DTC members were able to give a board or commission update when something pertinent was happening to the Democratic Town Committee. We also saw a winnowing down of DTC membership. So while you could have a maximum of 65, the current DTC membership, which will change over in March, is only around 40 people because they prioritized having a quorum at all meetings over being an open and inviting environment to all the Democrats in town.
So wait, so as people left, what did the DTC do to try and replace them and build those numbers back up?
Nothing. So I did a survey back in 2019. To DTC membership when I was still a member of the DTC, just kind of asking, like, what could we be doing better? Like, how are you feeling about the DTC's efforts? And it was not at all a positive result. People were feeling like they were volunteering for something and they were receiving rude and passive aggressive comments for it, as opposed to, you know, feeling like they were being valued members of the committee and being thanked for the work that they were doing. So it's not entirely surprising. I think Tim did an analysis at one point, and it was something like 60 people had left the DTC over the course of 6 years. I'm probably saying this wrong.
Yeah, it was somewhere around there. It was lingering around like 58 or something like that. It's hard to,
but
know,
that's more than 100% turnover for a 40-person DTC.
You want to qualify that by saying, like, so there are people that have passed on since then, like DTC membership.
Several people
tends
died,
to be
yes.
Pretty old. I didn't include them in that.
Quick shout out to Joe Villano, who, like, took me under his wing and explained a lot of things to me. He will be missed.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Joe Villano.
Also people who kind of moved out of town, you can sort of, you know, but of those people, nobody had changed their party affiliation, which will be relevant as we discuss what happened next.
So what happened next?
So enter
one person became unaffiliated. I'll say that.
Enter 2022. Actually, let's talk about 2021. 2021, I was asked by a prior DTC chair to no longer be a DTC member. Asked being a very generous term. She told me that if I did not leave, she was going to call my boss and lie to him about what had been happening and about me acting unethically. So I did not participate in the 2022 Democratic Town Committee caucus because I do need my job. And I always tell Tim this, like once somebody says like, hey, Amanda, how's that drug problem you've got? You know, like it doesn't matter if I don't have a drug problem. That's going to stick in people's minds, right? So having somebody call my boss out of nowhere and say, this woman is acting unethically, it doesn't matter if I was acting unethically or not. That was going to mar my career and hurt my family. So I decided to step away from the DTC and just not associate with these people for both my financial health and my mental health.
Glad none of them ever acted unethically.
I had no idea about that story. That is terrifying.
Yeah. And I mean, she's no longer the chair of the DTC, not even currently. But that is an experience that I will never forget. And it is embarrassing, but I feel like it's important to talk about because this is kind of how the cogs of this DTC have moved for several years. So in 2022, I did not seek reappointment or reelection to the North Haven DTC.
You were still a Board of Ed member.
Correct.
Okay.
I was up for a reelection in 2023. And once the new DTC was seated in 2022, the DTC chair reached out with the person who replaced Dot Logan on the DTC and said, like, let's talk about how we can work together and get reports from you. So we met on the town green at the gazebo in August, and then we met four times between then and the 2023 nomination process happening. What was clear was that I said, you know, I am a Democrat in my heart. I'm a total hippie. People who know me know this. However, I'm not going to toe the Democratic Party line because there are kids at risk here. So if the DTC is pushing me to cut the Board of Education budget or to give the superintendent a hard time because of budgetary purposes, I will not participate
in that. And again, this is not, there had not been a DTC vote saying we are looking to, as we as a body as a whole, are looking to cut the education budget.
Correct. So I did meet with DTC leadership several times. A dear friend of mine, Scott Friedman, also very passionate about North Haven politics, organized a meeting between Board of Ed members and DTC leadership because he thought that there was such dysfunction running through there and we should be working together. I'll agree to that in a heartbeat. I will talk to anybody. It doesn't matter your political affiliation. Anytime you want to talk to me. He walked away from that meeting and said, this relationship is not fixable at all. They really hate you. And that's fine. Like, I don't have to be everybody's best friend, but I do have a responsibility to the kids of North Haven that I take very seriously. And because I'm not willing to play ball, I knew that I was not going to get the nomination in 2023.
So, Tim, I want to kind of close down this particular chunk of the discussion with just what were some of the other dynamics? I mean, was this something that was in strictly inside the DTC? Had it had there been anything that went you know, to the state or to the state party about some of these changes?
Yeah. So, you know, Amanda stayed on the DTC a little bit longer than me. I sort of left in with the 2020 caucus. I decided not to join at that point. It seemed like most of my time was just kind of being wasted, going to meetings, kind of having like these kind of circular conversations. Nothing was really being accomplished. Nothing really done. The needle wasn't changing in North Haven at any point. 2020 as you remember, was a very eventful year. There was a presidential
something about that
primary going on. There was a re-election of a president that was happening. There were George Floyd protests. There was kind of like all of this awakening like that was
global
happening.
Pandemic, if I remember, something like that. Yeah. I don't remember.
I remember that.
Yeah, global pandemic was happening, and in the midst of all this, you know, some folks decided that, like, hey, let's bring up the mascot debate again in North Haven, which was always a very popular topic of discussion. So we found that, you know, kind of organizing outside of the DTC, we were actually able to accomplish some of some of the goals that we were looking
what
to
some
do.
Would call the impossible, actually.
Yeah. I remember moving to this town and hearing, you know, two things specifically. North Haven will never change its native mascot, and North Haven will never have a pride celebration. And both of those things happened as we began to organize outside the DTC.
Right. And importantly, like, the DTC was not part of it. There were DTC members who were part of both of those pushes.
Some of them participated in minor capacities here and there, but for the most part, they were not.
As an organization as a whole, it was not involved in these efforts.
No, and when we asked them to not be involved because, like, adding political, like, sprinkles on top of this cake once it was almost across the finish line was only going to hurt us, they did not listen.
So, the last sort of prompt that I wonder if you could flesh out is the old-timers email.
Well, let's talk about the moratorium first.
Please.
So, it's 2023. We have a new municipal election happening, and I would very much like to be reelected to the Board of Education. So would my dear friend Thais, who was appointed to the Board of Education to fill Jennifer Ceccarelli's unexpired term. Thais is like an amazingly brilliant person and a wonderful addition to the Board of Education. She and I were both up for reelection. We were both about to face a process that was a little bit different with the DTC. They were forming a nominating committee.
And can I add just to my last sort of comment too, like that, you know, some of the people that came from this outside organization, Scott, who Amanda had mentioned before, and a few other people started to like being like, well, you know what, elections do kind of matter. Let's sort of like get some of these people involved and let's like try to get them onto the DTC. I think there were maybe three people successfully got onto the DTC.
And like an additional 12.
And then there were a few others that expressed interest and sort of stopped hearing back.
And those three people who successfully got onto the DTC were
Scott,
registered Democrats.
Jamie, and Brandy.
But they were registered Democrats. They were activists. They weren't like secret Republicans.
They were starting the first North Haven Pride. They were, you know, helping us make North Haven a more inclusive place. And then the additional like 10 to 15 people who wanted to be on the DTC were told that they would have to wait because there was a municipal election coming up. And they didn't want to, quote, hack the DTC with secret Republicans. Now, these are people who have been fighting to change a mascot, who've been fighting to make sure that North Haven had a pride, who have been actively writing to their state senators, state reps, Board of Ed members, and First Select people, and actively trying to make North Haven better. So, like, imagine what a slap in the face it is when you say, like, we're not accepting more people. We have 40. We could have 65, but we don't trust you.
This is also an organization that historically has struggled to find extra members.
Correct.
Like, again, there are boards and commissions that do not have Democrats on it because we couldn't find anybody who was interested in doing it. So just philosophically, as Democrats, the idea of turning people away seems wrong and anathema. But also from a practical standpoint, this is not an organization that was swimming in talent.
No, this is what Tim and I call
15 open seats at that point.
This is what Tim and I call the shrinkage. Like, this is the shrinkage of the DTC. Like, in an area in which we could really use additional hands, they didn't want them. They were extorting people out of the DTC. They were not allowing people with a proven track record of success to participate in the political process.
So actually, that's a really important point. Was this the actions that were being taken to replace out long-term members of different boards and commissions and to sort of have more purity and selectivity about the candidates, was that making it so Democrats were winning more elections?
That's adorable, Steve. You're so adorable. No, you know, it's not to say that anybody shouldn't run for for any border commission which they choose, but these are people who hadn't been attending meetings. They're people who hadn't been investing in going to community events and engaging with community members outside of official capacity. Tim will tell you this. He gets annoyed with me because I spend between 20 and 40 hours a week talking about the Board of Education, talking to parents, talking to teachers, talking to anybody who will listen to me, talking to anybody who needs help.
Her calendar in order to
well, you, Tim, you are just one voter out of so many. Like,
that's true.
He's very important to me though, and I love him to pieces. But I don't think people realize like how much time and energy goes into this.
Which is why the fact that you volunteer for other things is mind blowing and I don't know, poorly planned.
This is how I socialize.
So the DTC introduced this,
what they call a moratorium.
A moratorium on new members. They introduced a new rule that hadn't existed where only members could speak at meetings. Was there any backlash to that inside of the DTC?
Of course there was, because there were sitting Board of Ed members who could not give an update on what was happening within the Board of Education. When the Moms for Liberty crew were coming and talking about banning books, we were not allowed to speak at DTC meetings. Because we were not members. And they actually let the only elected Black Democrat in town sit with her hand raised on a Zoom call for a ridiculous amount of time, not even acknowledging her, talking about her in the third person. It was so disrespectful. It was ridiculous. It made not just me furious, because how dare you treat my friend that way? My friend who works so hard and gives so generously of herself and of her time. In favor of people who do not give that generously of themselves and of their time. How dare you treat her like that? But this wasn't just my opinion. This was the opinion of many people who were seeing this, who were feeling this, and who were hearing this, who were working together to make North Haven a more inclusive place, and were working seemingly against the North Haven Democratic Town Committee, which was ridiculous.
So the after that kind of debacle happened, I remember, you know, there was a conversation that happened, and Thais was not allowed to be a part of it. And that was just kind of being made about her while she was still sitting in the room muted. And the notion came up that the chair had called the state party earlier that day and saw if she was allowed to let other Democrats speak during a meeting. Well, I don't know why this would just come out of the blue and she would just think that this was like something that she needed to ask about that day. But she asked and they said, like, no, you don't have to allow other Democrats to speak.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
Not that you can't.
You were on the Democratic Town Committee for a while. Do you remember times when other Democrats wouldn't, you know, if they came to a meeting?
Non-DTC members.
Non-DTC members. They were interested in the organization. Would they just be kind of like, be told like, okay, you need to be quiet and let everybody else speak?
Never, not once. And this again speaks to, we're not that popular. We don't have that many members. We do not have the luxury of excluding people, frankly. No, I mean, I was running the Facebook page for a year before I was even a DTC member, and I was giving reports there. But yeah, no, it on a broad level, the Democratic Town Committee should be representing the Democrats of town, not the members of the Democratic Town Committee.
Which is impossible to do if you don't listen to the Democrats of town, if you don't allow them to speak, if you ignore their emails, if you ignore their outreach, if you ignore the Democrats in town.
And frankly, the issues that they had and the work that they were doing outside of the DTC process, because the DTC process seemed broken. So we've established here a committee that, or an organization that plays an important role in elections in North Haven, but is getting increasingly insular, increasingly reactive to other people. What we're gonna take a break right now, and you can join us for the next podcast where we talk about what happened as a result of that. Until then, thank you for listening to Connecticut Inside Out.